Just fire it up. Fire it up. Welcome to the Danny Picard Show. Justin Barrasso in studio. This is our special guest that we've been teasing now for a couple months. We've been teasing the Justin Barrasso special appearance on the show.
It was more scheduling. It just didn't work if I was away or, but I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad. The timing couldn't have been better, right before WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly what we want. Yeah.
And this is, I don't know how many times we've been together, but it's great to be here.
It's a tradition unlike any other, straight from Sports Illustrated, right to our studio in Salty. And
Sports Illustrated, still breathing.
Still breathing. I'm glad that you survived, man. I wasn't going to open with that, but you did. So, I mean, when I first heard that news about Sports Illustrated and all the cuts, you're the first person I thought of. And it's good to see that. You made the cut, and here you are now, and we got WrestleMania season, the most important season in wrestling, and it's obviously WWE-related. We'll get into some AEW stuff, because you just recently did an AEW, what was that, you were on a panel with some AEW out in, folks?
Out in Austin, it was Bryan Danielson, Tony Khan, and Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, disrupting the wrestling landscape. Yeah, I'd love to get into that, too. That was fun. Yeah. I think Britt, and she's been off camera for a while, but Britt's so talented. He's a fascinating guy to interview. He knows his stuff. And I think Bryan's one of the most knowledgeable voices in wrestling. So, yeah, it was great. But, yeah, I'm happy to discuss anything you'd like. And like you said, too, it's the best time of the year. It's WrestleMania. It's nice that WrestleMania 40 has the, I mean, it'd be nice if the women had a women's title match at a main event spot, but I get what they're doing with an ode to the original WrestleMania tag team match, you know, Mr. T, Hogan, Mr. Wonderful, Piper.
You think that's what that is with The Rock? You think that's like,
well, I think it was
their goal?
A necessity. If he can't work a singles match.
I think it was more that The Rock isn't going to come in and work a singles match right away.
If the plan was, which I genuinely believe that it was, if the plan was that it was going to be Rock-Roman, Rock is the babyface, Roman is the heel, then it makes sense. You don't want to – Rock doesn't have many singles matches left in him, right? So you can't burn it. Not, I mean, I don't know. The tag match makes a lot of sense. The best part about this is if you compare it to a decade ago, and I love WrestleMania 30, kind of the last Mania of its era in the sense that the show was a little tighter. It wasn't, I think it's 6 hours this year, right? Like it was an old school
for
Mania.
Two straight nights.
Right. It was an old school Mania, WrestleMania 30. I love the open with Hogan, Austin, and Rock. I love that Austin was bitchy. We get a story with him. He wanted to be the third one out. Not the second, but it worked out well because Hogan said they were in the wrong venue.
Yeah.
And he was the one to jump on it. Anyway, I believe that Rock and Roman were going to work. But the best part of this is they pivoted so early. It's been a great story. Right? It's been a great story. Rock as a heel has been a stroke of genius. That wasn't the plan. But the fact that they're listening and pivoting, which wasn't a hallmark of the company in the latter years of Vince McMahon, has been incredible, and it's showing on screen.
That wasn't the plan, is what you just said. Is that inside information or is that your opinion?
No, the plan was to have Rock and Roman. They were going to have a single
match. Your opinion, or
no? I wrote a story in this too, and now I know not all the. I didn't get everything right in that piece, and obviously you fight every story to get it right. But even when Cody announced that he wasn't going to wrestle Roman at WrestleMania, it was the Rock spot. And the crowd goes ballistic, which is great, right? Very similar to Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. And I love how The Rock jumped on that with Cody Crybabies. All very organic storytelling, right? And that's the best part of this. It's not some, and I love the old stories of, you know, they'd plan out Mania a year in advance. You can't do that anymore. It's just a different era. It's a different beast. You can't plan out Mania 9 months in advance. You've got to be constantly changing. Would Roman and Rock have worked? I don't know. It's much better the way, especially to have Paul Levesque's story, Triple H's story, taken away from him. They put so much into Cody. It's much better that they kept their ears open, listened to the crowd. We have the tag match night one. And Danny, as fascinating as I think it would be if Roman won on night two.
All right, hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves because I need to jump in, and I'm gonna correct you. Because I think that you are wrong. I think that you're getting worked. I think that they did have this plan. And the reason I think that, and we posted a clip from the Pat McAfee show back in September when The Rock went on the Pat McAfee show on ESPN. And The Rock explained why he did not do the match with Roman last year at SoFi at WrestleMania 39. He said it was locked in. They were going to do it. Then he brought up, well, then the Endeavor sale came up. Then he said, look, the match with Roman, yeah, great, we'll do it. But there needed to be something more. There needed to be something special. There needed to be, you know, not the end of something, but the beginning of something greater. And what I took from that was that The Rock was always going to be involved in a storyline with Roman Reigns. But the Endeavor sale changed some things last year to the point
it
where...
it puts him on the board, too. So now he's got a financial stake involved.
Sure, he's got... I mean, he's so got a seat. Sense. He's not the chairman of the board, though. He's got a seat at the table.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. But Paul Levesque, that Triple H doesn't have one. Cody Rhodes certainly doesn't have one. Like, it's a big position to have that most active on-screen performers don't have. I guess Vince being somewhat of a Triple H, too. But typically, you don't see a wrestler, right, in that position. Mm.
But let me just get to my point.
I do believe that Rock was, it was supposed to be Rock Roman this year.
So the reason I say I don't think so is because they said it was supposed to be Rock Roman last year, but the reason it wasn't was because, well, they don't just want to do that match. They don't just, The Rock wasn't going to come back to just do Rock versus Roman for the title. It's a dumb move, in my opinion, and I think he's admitting that because The Rock isn't going to win the championship.
I'm a big Rock fan. I think he needs this run too. What's The Rock's last big hit?
The Rock's last big hit? His match with Cena.
I'm sorry, Hollywood-wise.
Hollywood-wise?
Yeah. Might have to IMDb this.
Jumanji?
It's been a while. Like, The Rock needs this too. Like, this is big for him. And everything he's doing, he's hitting out of the park. But this is just as much for him. Not a reboot per se, but rejuvenation. And as a heel, it's been fantastic.
Sure, but I think going back to that clip of McAfee in September, what he was saying was, this setting up The Rock versus Roman, that's going to happen. There's no question about it. But I think they wanted to do, like he said, something different, something special leading into that match. It's not just going to be Rock versus Roman. Like, Rock isn't just going to show up and go, oh, I'm the head of the table, I'm going to fight Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That doesn't make any sense. The Rock said it in September on the McAfee show. They needed more. All this stuff is the more. And you're going to see The Rock, Roman, on night two, something is going to happen there.
100%. I imagine they split, but how do you align yourself with Cody storyline-wise? But the flaw to your argument, in my opinion, is where do you see Cody Rhodes in that story? There's no way to predict, as Rock calls them, the Cody crybabies, and I'm one of them. I think this is Cody's time. I think Cody should absolutely win the belt at WrestleMania. If not now, when? Like, it's his time. He's selling merchandise. He's carrying live shows. Like, Cody's the guy. How do you predict that reaction? You can't. Like, even Cody says it, and it makes no sense. And I think they have the right people in the writing team to make this work. Cody says, I'm not going to challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And he brings out The Rock. Like, it otherwise.
Yeah, that night didn't make much sense to the storyline. And we pointed that out. But I'll counter that by saying, I don't think that needs to make sense. That was just a way to get The Rock involved. And what I also think is happening, I know my argument might not look as good after what we saw on Monday Night Raw, where The Rock just beat the piss out of Cody Rhodes, which was classic. Attitude Era stuff and was awesome. Like, that was just fantastic. That might have been the best Monday Night Raw I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
The Rock unannounced, and then at the end of the show, and then they do the social media stuff where he's still, you know, wailing away with the belt and slapping him and the blood afterwards. That was all great. I still think there's part of this storyline in which The Rock is doing this because he said some things, doing this for Dusty to prepare him for Roman Reigns. Because The Rock is saying stuff that
For Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rock is saying stuff that make it sound like, yeah, I acknowledge you, Roman, as my tribal chief, but like my grandfather, the high chief, like there's still something there with those two.
I felt bad too when they put the whole map.
Yeah.
They couldn't have expected, I mean, it was you could hear a pin drop. And they got a cool history, but it was a power play by The Rock. I don't knock it. Like, it's funny when people knock Hogan for the power play at WrestleMania 9 in Vegas. Everyone should want to be the champ. Right? Why are you doing this at that level if you don't want to win the belt back?
I mean, that WrestleMania 9 was like Money in the Bank before Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it didn't make sense.
Hogan in the bank. Well, you Hulkamaniacs in the bank.
You couldn't have Yoko, like you couldn't close, looking back, right? You can't have that show end with Yoko winning. It makes no sense. Unless you close with the Hogan tag match. So you need to do something. Either Brett goes over or that's a weird mania.
Yeah, we don't have to get to WrestleMania.
Taker and Giant Gonzalez.
We don't want to lose the younger audience talking about WrestleMania 9.
I do have a WrestleMania 9 quick story, though.
Go ahead.
All right, so I think it's a Sunday afternoon back then. I think I'd have to go back and check, but I don't know how old I am. I think I'm actually in the third or fourth grade. And, you know, my parents, very loving parents, supportive. My brother and I would watch the show. I don't know what we ate, but nothing good, right? Like all good stuff, but pizza and soda and all this. And I was so amped up the next day in school. I was just so excited. Hogan's the new champ. I think I was fired up about Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect, which never really... Oh, they wrestled at SummerSlam, I think.
Yeah, that was Tatanka, Shawn Michaels.
No, but in the back, I believe Michaels and Perfect have a brawl in the back.
Oh.
Like they're like Michaels is shirtless in the back. It's funny, that's the part I remember, but they wrestle in the back. Like he's walking around backstage. He attacks him with like a trash can. My brother and I are thinking this is all like as real as day, right? Like we can't believe this is happening. So we're thinking, you know, Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect. And I think they do wrestle that SummerSlam. Anyways, I'm so amped up. The next day I vomit in school. Like, you know, when you raise your hand, I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And she's like, why? And I'm like trying to explain it. And before I could explain it, it's like you cover your mouth. It was just, it was an exciting time to be a pro wrestling fan.
Why?
I probably couldn't sleep that night.
What happened? Just so excited from WrestleMania 9 the night before?
The day before, yeah. I remember the Steiners wrestled, and like we'd never seen the Steiners really.
Wow.
I remember we're in elementary school, right? You saw Bobby Heenan in a toga. The whole thing was, we're big Macho Man fans in the house too. So anyways, that's my WrestleMania.
Wow, what a story. I don't even know how we get back on track.
I don't know if you can.
Anyways, yeah. We will.
Do you think there's an argument to be made that The Rock wasn't ready, so they almost did plan next WrestleMania?
I don't think so. Good question. I don't think so. I think you're going to ask me a follow-up to WrestleMania 9. It's all right. I don't think so. I think the plan genuinely was Roman Rock. It was a Rock power play. And it just, the crowd, the difference now is you have people who are listening to the crowd.
I think you're not hearing what I'm saying. I think The Rock and Roman, it is meant, they are going to go one-on-one.
100%.
And they are going to probably do it next Mania. But I just feel like everybody thinks the Cody crybaby is like myself. I was a Cody crybaby.
Not anymore?
I consider, well, the more this thing goes on, the more I'm like, and everybody thinks the Cody's going to win. Wouldn't it just be classic if...
It would.
If Roman wins?
And Roman does have, there is more you can do with him as champion, but... You need a guy who's a champion. You need a guy who's there, and there's enough for Cody to do short term. Like it's probably going to be, I would think, Judgment Day, Bronson Reed. You could do Cody can work programs with these guys as champion. Maybe you can get Rock at SummerSlam. Like Rock's involved, he's around. Maybe you can save Rock Roman for Netflix. But I don't know what's bigger than WrestleMania 40. Like Rock's not working WrestleMania 50. Roman might not work at WrestleMania 50, but WrestleMania 40 is a huge, huge moment to close out that show on night two in the main event. I could see why The Rock would want to come back.
You said something though a few minutes ago, which I was kind of thinking along these lines, is that The Rock needs this too.
100%.
You mentioned his recent Hollywood career. He needs this. I mean, the work he's doing right now in the WWE is some of the best work maybe he's ever done.
Google some of the stories about what his recent films.
I don't want to use this as an opportunity to knock The Rock. I mean, we love The Rock, right? We love The Rock. But if you look at it, he's going to have a tag team match. He's doing classic work right now in the WWE. And you do talk about long-term storytelling. Well, what if they have been telling this long-term storyline in which it's The Rock getting ready in a tag team match, and maybe it isn't going to go down on the second night with Rock and Roman like we think, and maybe they do stretch this out? Because the reason I'm entertaining that, they've had a couple interesting face-to-faces with The Rock and Seth Rollins.
Yes.
And The Rock keeps saying something about that title.
By the way,
where he says, I'm going to get rid of that title. I'm getting rid of that title. Not I'm going to win that title. I'm going to get rid of that title. And there was a moment on
Seth on Monday, by the way. You got your back, Cody, right? That's a good... Anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah, anyways, but The Rock, Seth Rollins, there's something there. I want to see that match. And then it's like The Rock, Cody Rhodes. I want to see that match. They could stretch this out where The Rock starts running the gauntlet on these guys.
Sure.
Gets ready with the tag match. Then you get to next year's Mania with, like, something might happen at SummerSlam with The Rock and Roman
Reigns. We're also
talking
about a guy that hasn't wrestled a singles match really since WrestleMania 29. So it's been 11 years.
And didn't he get hurt, too, in that match? He did.
Yeah, real banged up.
Yeah.
He tore his pelvis.
Yeah, he tore something.
Yeah.
I remember.
But, so I don't know. I don't think that that's, I think you might see him come back. I'm curious how it ends. You know, the unique thing about WrestleMania 40 is, I mean, he's been banished from the company for all intents and purposes. You can't say his name. It was interesting when Punk mentioned, or McIntyre said, I'm the chosen one. Punk said, who named you that? And they wouldn't say Vince McMahon. Said, no Vince.
Right. He did say that.
Vince had a way of booking his manias. Triple H is a really smart booker. Old school, like every segment leads to the next one. I like the way Triple H
books. Oh, yeah. Shows. I think Triple H is a great mind for the business. I mean, you could see it. Like you can
but
see,
they've got a history of.
But that's where I'm giving him credit for this long-term storytelling. Yeah. I don't think the Cody Crybabies changed it. I think they had this planned out. I do. I really do. And I think you're getting worked. I think people are getting worked by that.
No, not on the. Rock went for a power play, which I don't blame him. It didn't work. We'll see. And they pivoted.
Dude, you got to watch the clip with The Rock on McAfee in September. Because I think he lays out exactly the opposite of what you're saying. I think he laid it out.
Where is Cody in all this?
What do you mean, where's Cody?
What are they going to do with Cody then? Like, there was never a Rock-Cody feud.
No, I'm saying that they got The Rock involved to then, at Mania, begin the Rock-Roman feud so that they could fight at next year's Mania.
Yeah, because I don't think the Rock-Roman feud needs the belt.
Absolutely not.
No, it doesn't.
Unless you're coming back for maybe not all the right, like The Rock came back to be The Rock, to be the star. Like, I think, and he earned the right. But I think you want, in WrestleMania 41, yeah, there's no sizzle to WrestleMania 41.
You think that's happening, though? I mean, you think The Rock came back and said,
yes.
I need to be in that title match? And
yes.
You do?
I do. Which they burned themselves they shot themselves in the foot when they had Cody win the Rumble. When you have Cody, like, if The Rock wins the Rumble, totally different story. But when Cody wins the Rumble.
But now you're making my point.
Cody goes, yeah. Again, the stuff behind, that's the beauty of covering pro wrestling and the exciting part of it. Who will really, I mean, we'll dig. One guy could just say that wasn't the case.
That's why we have you in.
That's right.
And I just think they need to be rewarded. This whole bloodline storyline, the fact that we're talking about it like this and I'm this excited to discuss it. I mean, we do some wrestling on the show, but wrestling has hijacked the Danny Picard show.
Which is fantastic, as it should.
And they've done it because the bloodline storyline needs to get some type of an award. Everybody.
Night two, the main event, we're going to see Solo go for the thumb to the neck with Cody. Like, you're going to play back last year's scene. And that probably sets up the finish, I would think, right? I can't imagine Roman wins.
All right, I just can't. Let's get to predictions then. What do you think is going to happen? And who wins? Because the tag match is obviously implications for night two with the tag match in night one. If The Rock and Roman Reigns win, then it's bloodline rules in night two for Cody versus Roman Reigns.
Really, but
yeah, we do. The Rock explained it. He said anything goes. The Rock said, I can be on commentary. I can be the referee. I can do this, that. And I think
so. There's basically no.
They could bring out the whole family to beat the shit out of Cody Rhodes, right? Or if Cody and Seth win the tag team match, then nobody in the bloodline. This is important because this is where I think they're going with it. They want you to think we're going to see the whole family on night two. I think Cody and Seth are going to win night one. That begins Roman getting frustrated with The Rock. And then night two, when none of the bloodline can come down because of what happened night one, someone from the bloodline, Solo, is going to try to get involved. And that's when The Rock comes back and goes, no, you're disrespecting the family name. We lost. We have to play by the rules. You can't do this. And that's when I think Roman will get pissed at The Rock again. That's when you get the clash, and we get set for next year's Mania. That's what I think is going to happen. Let's hear Justin Barrasso.
I respectfully disagree. Okay. I think that you got to have, just to set up all the speculation for night two, you've got to have, and you got to have Seth Rollins get bludgeoned in night one, right? Because if he's going to lose the belt, it makes more sense that he's injured and comes in vulnerable in night two. And I don't know, like, one of my favorite parts to last year's match was when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come and they take out the Usos. And it's It's Cody and Roman. It's one-on-one, right? It's Cody's time. It's Cody's moment. And I genuinely thought Roman was going to win that match. And I started to think, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe I didn't read this right. Then the solo interference, and that's the match. But I don't know who comes to Cody's aid this time. Like, say Rollins loses the belt and Rollins, I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily see that feud ongoing between, and maybe Seth challenges Cody after he wins the belt. I don't know. But who comes to Cody's aid? That'll be fascinating. But I think they're going to go all bells and whistles Sunday night, which would mean that The Rock and Roman have to win on Saturday. Plus, where's the intrigue?
Cody hits a beautiful pot.
Who gets pinned on Saturday?
Justin, this is professional wrestling.
Yes.
You think because they set the rules like that, yeah. But the Bloodline, like you saw in SmackDown 2 weeks ago when Roman was like, oh, we said no one was going to be here. And then they were. They didn't play by their own rules. They're going to do that
again. But Cody outsmarted. I like that. Cody outsmarted him. He had Seth.
So you still could see the chaos at the ring, even if Cody and Seth win.
I'll ask you this. If Cody and Seth win on night one, who is getting pinned? It's not Roman. You cannot pin Roman. And The Rock certainly isn't lowering his shoulders for a 1-2-3. So I'm curious. I don't know how you'd end that match. You can't do a DQ.
You're assuming that based on your...
Neither one of the... Well, Roman never gets pinned, and they're not going to blow... Shouldn't say blow it. You're not... When Roman gets pinned, it has to be to lose the belt, right? That's the moment.
Roman is not getting pinned night one.
Can't.
The Rock is getting pinned. And I say that because I disagree with you. I don't think The Rock came back. I'm telling you, you have to watch The Rock on the Pat McAfee show from back in September. He kind of gave too much information, in my opinion, to where I think some people might have been like, dude, no. Give us a little more kayfabe, right? Like, give us a little more of that. That was a little too much. He laid it out, like, what they wanted to do. I don't think Rock came back, put his foot down, and was like, I'm back. I'm in the main event. I'm in that title match. I think he wanted to be involved in the storyline to build to something for next year with Roman.
I think we should make a gentleman's bet for night one. The Rock will not get pinned on. I don't know what we're going to bet, but.
The Rock? You're saying The Rock won't, and I say The Rock will?
Yes, if that's what you're saying.
All right, we'll figure something out. Some type of figure.
Yeah, it might be a Dunkin' Donuts gift card.
Maybe a Dunkin' Donuts gift card. Yeah, we'll get you a Sullivan's gift card, right? From Sullivan's.
All right, Sullivan's. And I'll give you. Are you ever on the North Shore?
I am not. Are you going to give me a Kowloon gift card?
I was going
to
do.
I would take that. I'll take the Kowloon gift card and I will go to Kowloon.
All right, $50.
$50. I'll get you Sullivan's gift card.
Yeah,
I have Cody and Seth with The Rock getting pinned.
Correct. I'll even give you just Cody and Cody if you want a straight winner.
Well, someone's got to get pinned,
right? And
unless it's
not Roman.
A disqualification. Can it be a disqualification?
Could
I don't think
can you really end the thing is if you're watching night one, you're watching night two.
Here's how it could end in disqualification: if you start to get crazy on night one, where like Stone Cold comes in,
right? Cena comes down. I don't know how much you want to depend on the past, rely on the past in those moments. I'll be curious.
Wouldn't that make more sense though? I'm just thinking out loud, like on the fly here.
I think you pin Cody on night one. Brett gets pinned at WrestleMania 10 in the open, and that might be the best. That's the best.
Oh yeah,
opening
Owen
match
beat him in the right. opening match,
and then Brett 10. Wins the belt. He finally beats Yoko, which in retrospect is like the end of the Yoko era as a main event.
All right, so then that brings me to something, and I don't know that they've closed the door on this.
We will shake on this, by the way.
All right, let's shake on it right now. Then. All right. What is the bet?
$50 gift card.
Sullivan's gift card. Sully's here in Salty,
and my. The Kowloon, I think, is
Kowloon.
If Andy Wong's listening, watching, it's the best Chinese food.
I'd say it's
in
unbelievable.
The world. Yeah,
Kowloon's the best.
The atmosphere, the 100%. The drinks. Yeah. All right. So as I do my infomercial for Kowloon, but so $50.
Yeah. You know what? I don't give
Kowloon's. Fantastic.
I don't give free reads like this usually, but
and
we'll do.
Well, there's
we'll
a
do
reason
it now
that
for Kowloon.
Wrestlers have been going there since the 60s.
I know that they're paying you to come on and give reads. I'm kidding.
I love Andy,
but let's
just
so. What is the bet though? That The Rock gets pinned?
No. Let's just pick winners. You pick.
I have Cody, Seth,
and I have. Rock Roman.
All right, we'll shake on it right now. There we go. There it is. There's the bet. Now, entertain this thought. Doesn't it make more sense to have the chaos night one and then kind of let it be Cody, Roman, just those two night two? Isn't that like cinema? That's like the drama of just those two. Because if you have too much shit going on two nights in a row, I think you'd start to... You start to take that special feel away from this feud.
I think you answered
which
the question,
I think could one day be a trilogy.
Cody, absolutely. Cody gets pinned cleanly on night one. He can't beat Roman. Like, that's the story. He can't beat Roman. And he gets pinned cleanly night one. Night two, if... And I love...
Well, who pins Cody night one?
I would think Roman. right? I would think.
Oh, I don't see.
I would think.
Unless you're going Roman's just running the table, pinned him again night two.
Can't go both nights. No, Cody wins. You have to go Cody night two. Like, it's an emotional moment. There has to be some kind of callback to his dad, the legendary Dusty Rhodes. Cody wins night two because he can't beat Roman, and he finally overcomes him. To me, that's the story. Night two, if you follow the bloodline, which you guys have, bloodline is always bells and whistles. Interference. Like, they have a formula to their matches, right?
Yeah.
That night two will follow that formula, but Cody will have to find a way to overcome. That's the way I see it playing out. Again, the beauty is we're talking about it, we're arguing about it, we're discussing it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I, for the longest time, was convinced that The Rock was going to be involved in the triple threat with Cody and Roman, and that was the long-term plan. And to be quite honest with you, I still haven't given up on the possibility of that, that The Rock somehow is involved night two from an in-ring perspective.
You could make it work in the sense, I mean, he's involved night two if they win on
Yeah, he'll be involved night two, but I'm saying, like, he's in there actually as, and that turns into a triple threat. And here's why I say
you
that.
You could protect him in a triple threat, too. You're mentioning
previous WrestleManias. There seems to be a theme for the 10th anniversary of every WrestleMania. What is it? Three people involved in the title scene. WrestleMania 10, it was Lex Luger, Yokozuna, and Bret Hart.
Those are two separate matches, though.
Sure, but it was still like a tournament of sorts. There were three people involved. Agreed. WrestleMania 20 was
a great
redacted.
Match. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
And again, one of Shawn's best matches that you can't talk about, which rightfully so, but... and then 30 was a great
triple
threat. And then
30 was the one you referenced earlier with Daniel Bryan, Batista, and Randy Orton. And what would you, like, we'll that's really, what I always thought why we were going to go down this path of a triple threat.
We'll have a really fun story this week with Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson talking about Cody's road to WrestleMania. It's always fun, I feel like, when someone from AEW is talking about WWE or someone from WWE is talking about AEW. Because most of these guys, let's be honest, most of these guys, A, they certainly know each other. B, most of them are friendly. Right, like they've been on the road together. They're all in this together, right? And Brian's thrilled for Cody, but I think he gives some good stories about, I don't want to give too much of the piece away, but Brian texted Cody last year before Mania and said, congratulations, like, this is your moment. I can tell you're winning the belt. Like, wow, what a moment, right? I've been there. Like, this is yours. Enjoy it. And then he's like, I watched Mania and I couldn't have been more wrong. So should I text him this year or should I hold off? And I just thought it was endearing. Yeah, it's... And I think that's even a Steve Austin interview from last year. Austin talked about how he loved the finish. Like, I think last year's finish caught people off guard. If Cody wins this year.
Oh, I was in complete shock.
If Cody wins this year, it's a lot less. It's not that it's the wrong choice. It's just a lot less of a surprise. If you look at the Vegas odds, Cody was a massive favorite.
Cody's like minus 650 right now.
I'm curious if that drops at all.
Because then we'll minus 650 is a dead giveaway that he's going to win.
Correct. But Taker was a huge favorite at WrestleMania 30. And that, the day before, 2 days before. The day before, jumped dramatically in Brock's favor. Brock wins the match.
You're telling me that I'm getting worked by Vegas?
They seem to know. One of my favorite stories was, it never ran, but it was one of the contacts from Vegas. And he's like, oh, can we do a story on how we do wrestling lines? I'm like, that's super fascinating, right? And I'm like, all right, what, you know, we're asking, I had my storyboard, my questions. And he's like, oh, we just kind of guess based on what's happening on the show. I'm like, there's zero chance you guys guess based on what's happening on the show, right? He's like, that's our public line. I'm like, I can't do the story then. That's a ridiculous, there's nothing to it then. Like, there's zero chance that's, you guys get people, you must have people all in the, within the inside. So anyways, but it'll be curious to follow those lines. Then again, if you're, you might not even want to look at them because it'll be fun to be surprised Saturday night. It'll be fun to be surprised Sunday night. Like Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley. That's one of those. I haven't looked at the odds.
I have. We did a whole show on the odds on my YouTube channel.
I think Rhea wins. Is Rhea
complete
favored?
Clip of all the odds for WrestleMania.
Rhea's 40. Favored?
Rhea is the favorite, yeah.
Yeah. I think Bayley wins the belt.
Bayley's a heavy favorite. Yeah. Bayley's, I think, the heaviest favorite of all of every match in Mania.
I would think that would be night one. Oh, did Becky say she's night one? I don't know. It'll be interesting. What were the McIntyre Rollins odds?
McIntyre was the favorite, I believe.
I think you
not
need,
by a lot.
Yeah.
That was close. That was a close one. Because now you get CM Punk involved, too.
On commentary, but he's right ringside.
Yeah, but
right.
Come on. If he's ringside, he's going to have some type of involvement.
And you could easily see him costing Seth inadvertently.
That sucks that he got. If he didn't get injured,
I know.
This is where I think things change. Cody Crybabies, in my opinion, didn't change shit. But the CM Punk injury, I think, might have had Triple H going, fuck. And that's where they had to change course on some things, but right?
To McIntyre, well, it was Punk and Rollins, but that's where, like, it didn't have to be Drew. Like, to Drew McIntyre's credit, he's been
McIntyre's
so good.
Been great.
That's an example of someone, like, I know he jokes, he's like, I prayed for your injury and it came true, which I'm sure he's amping up the volume on that,
but
everybody wants that spot, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants that spot. Even when, here's another flaw to that argument, Seth cuts a very convincing promo to Cody on why he should wrestle him at WrestleMania. This is after the Punk injury, instead of wrestling Roman, because his title's the workhorse title. His title's the real title. That promo makes no sense. Deep down inside, and these aren't bad guys, deep down inside, I'm sure Seth or Colby Lopez, he wants to be the guy to beat Roman too. And you can't blame him for that, right? Like, I think everyone on that roster, if you didn't want to be the guy to beat Roman Reigns, what are you doing there? Right? Like, I can see everybody wants to be the guy.
But that's why I hate that title that Seth has.
I think if you watch Raw every week, it's helped give Raw stability. It's helped give Raw purpose. I was the same way at the beginning. I think it really helped shape that show.
Well, we talked about this. It's got the McMahon family crest all over it. They're doing this thing where they're trying to erase, they won't even say his name. You know, he's not in the video game. There's no Vince McMahon anywhere near WWE, no McMahon stuff. And yet that title has the McMahon family crest. And so that's why when I keep hearing The Rock saying, we're getting rid of that title, I start to combine those two things and go, well, maybe they're going to get rid of the title on top of it. To me, it really hasn't worked out. I mean, you disagree, it sounds like.
I think Seth's done a great job. I think you need another belt, especially when Roman just wasn't losing that title anytime soon, right? He wasn't losing it to Logan Paul in Saudi Arabia. He wasn't losing, I mean, pick the opponent, right? He just wasn't going to, if Roman's losing the belt, he's losing it at a WrestleMania, mm-hmm. right? So you needed another belt for guys to, unless you really want to amp up, and they have the Intercontinental title, but that's not changing either, right? Like, Gunther isn't, he's the longest reigning Intercontinental champion. So at some point, you need a title. And I think Seth's done a good job of, in a really impossible role, of making that belt mean something.
But back to CM Punk.
There's no lineage.
There's no lineage. Back to CM Punk. When he came back, I mean, I was in shock because of the way they did it. The show was over. The credits came up on the screen.
It's the biggest shock in wrestling history.
Were you in the building that night?
No, I was not. And I'd seen Triple H a couple of nights before, maybe a week prior, at the Callum Walsh fight at the theater at Madison Square Garden. And he said there was nothing to it off the record. He said there was nothing to Punk. And I believe that if it came together a couple days before the Randy Orton interview we did, and Orton was so good because I genuinely meant this. I said to Randy, it didn't detract from his return. Like, I'm a Randy Orton fan. I don't think that his return was any less special or has been any less special because CM Punk came back the same night. And he's like, yeah, Hunter told me that night. And he's like, I can't believe this. And he said, the old me or the young me would have been pissed. Like, you're taking away from my moment.
I would have been pissed if I were him. I wasn't pissed as a fan because I'm a huge CM Punk fan, greatest, and I was absolutely shocked.
It's the most shocking event in wrestling history, you know, wrestling storyline wise, right? Like, him returning, not even storyline wise, like, I don't know, in terms of a comeback, like, it ended poorly. There was the FedEx on his wedding day, which Vince said was...
It ended as bad as it could have ended.
And then, so it ends as bad as it could have, and then you have the legal matter. Then you have the lawsuit. It's over. Like, it is buried. There's no chance he's coming. Then he's in AEW. And without AEW, and I'm a big AEW fan, I think it's great what it's done for wrestling. It's changed the entire landscape. But without AEW, Punk probably never comes back to WWE. But the way AEW ended, it changed everything. The way it ended for him at Wembley. So it's just hard to believe we are where we are. When I watch a Raw that has Punk on it, you said you love Monday's Raw. It had Punk in a great kind of three-part segment, one on his own, one with Drew, and then one with Drew and Seth. And then you have, like, The Rock in two different scenes. I'm watching a Raw in March of 2024 with The Rock and CM Punk. Where am I? Like, this is...
Yeah.
And they're really good. Like, they're all... I know Punk's hurt, but... he's going to add, I'm surprised they didn't have him be a host, but I think his focus will be on that match, and that's where they're narrowing the focus. I'm excited. It's a great Mania. It has a card befitting the importance and magnitude of WrestleMania 40.
Are we going to continue, now that there seems to be new ownership, TKO, seems like Vince McMahon is never coming back. Triple H is, you know, really running the show. Are we going to continue to get the two-night WrestleManias? I absolutely hate the two-night Mania. Because you're forcing matches that, like, even on SmackDown last night, they're giving us WrestleMania matches now, like, so soon to WrestleMania. Right. They're forcing storylines because they have space
because they have two nights.
Are they going to continue with the two-night Mania, or is that just a Vince McMahon thing?
I haven't heard anything that they aren't. I'm with you, though, actually. I think Mania should be the most exclusive card in the world. It should be one night. If you want to go 4 hours, go 4 hours. I just think we're past the three-hour show. But think of all the money they make in two nights. It's almost like AW Dynamite, when they came to Boston a couple weeks ago. And we've been going to shows since high school, Mike Torelli, Andy Cedrone, and we're laughing that at 8:45, 8:50, it's like, we get an hour left of this show. Like, two-hour shows speed by. Then you watch Raw, and 3 hours is a little bit different. But they have the advertising, like, they're locked into that spot. Mm. I feel like they're locked into a two-night Mania just because they make so much money around it. But there's so many, all you have to do is shift NXT to Saturday night. You have the Hall of Fame. There's no shortage of events. I don't see it changing. It's something I can dig on a little bit, but Mania should be, if Mania was, and maybe with Triple H it'll be different. If Mania was, you know, a tight seven-match card or an eight-match card.
Yeah, it has to go back to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we like the idea, but time only marches
forward. Money talks, right? That's, I mean, true. Look, they're putting an advertisement on the mat in the middle of the ring. Which, I mean, how were you shocked, or did you kind of feel like they were going to go that route eventually?
Well, it makes sense because the UFC or Endeavor or TKO's involved, and I mean, they're putting the UFC business model onto WWE. So I don't know. I think it's going to take time for people to get used to, but what are you going to do? Not watch WrestleMania because Logan Paul's prime is on the mat. I don't know. I wish they weren't doing
it. Good for Logan Paul.
Yeah.
But it does kind of feel like that's his WWE contract is now a time buy.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I used to buy time on small radio stations, right? To get airtime, I would sell my own ads. He's selling his own ads to get.
I've heard those drinks are really sugary.
I don't know. I've never had it.
I've never had it.
But good for him. I mean, yeah. He's killing it. I think he's actually, I know we say that in jest, it's not a time buy. He's got a new contract. But Logan Paul is.
Exceeded every expectation.
And then he belongs in the WWE. Yeah. And then, you know, and I didn't know that I would say that, but he's done a great job.
And it's funny to watch the, was it the Dylan Danis fight? His last boxing fight? And there was nothing to it. Even like the run-in at the end, it was like, come on. The only exciting part was when he called out Rey Mysterio. It's like his wrestling is so much better than anything else he did or does.
It is perfect.
What a shame that Jake Paul fight, by the way, too. What a buzzkill. Did you guys see the rules on that? Two-minute rounds.
Against Tyson?
Yeah.
Oh, there's rules on it?
Well.
It's on Netflix, right?
Right. There's no winner unless it's a knockout. It's big gloves. I think the 16-ounce gloves I think they're wearing, it's two-minute rounds instead of three. It must be devastating. I don't know how they didn't foresee this. Like, no, the commission's not going to buy. I don't know. But the rules don't help the fight.
Yeah, I don't. When is that?
July?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I have Netflix. I'll still watch.
Yeah. Sure. WWE's going. Let's get back to WWE. Sorry. They're going to Netflix. A pay-per-view is going to, like, a PLE is going to go to Netflix now? What are we doing?
Eventually, everything goes to Netflix.
Yeah. So we will have will we be able to watch all the old pay-per-views on Netflix?
I'd imagine that if they leave Peacock, then it goes to Netflix. Hopefully, it's more like the WWE Network, too. That was so easy, user-friendly, easy to navigate. A little trickier on Peacock, but it seems like that's the direction we're headed.
You mentioned the Hall of Fame. Paul Heyman.
Well, I can't remember being the
deservedly so, obviously. Yes.
Since the Bret Hart speech, was I this excited for a speech at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Paul Heyman piece. I don't know. When's this podcast dropping?
This podcast?
Yeah.
Sunday? Sunday night?
Sunday
Monday morning?
Sunday morning, a Paul Heyman piece. We talk about Roman Reigns, the A&E episode. But I love Paul's encyclopedic memory. And he's got a story about Nick
Bockwinkel. We'll link your story in the description.
He's got a Nick Bockwinkel story in that piece that I can't be the only one who loves this stuff. Like the old stories But he's got a Bockwinkel story from a moment they had together in the AWA where Paul was kind of a hot shot and he thought he was going to pay the price for it. Anyways, I'm excited for the Hall of Fame. I think Heyman's speech will be, I think it'll be shorter than people expect.
Oh, so you got the you talked to Heyman for a story that you have coming out.
Yes.
Let's pump it up. Sports well, Illustrated, SI.com.
We did SI.com/wrestling. We did one recently about the photograph that he took in, I think it was 1982. It's a 15-year-old Paul Heyman beside Captain Lou Albano, the Grand Wizard, and Classy Freddie Blassie. And I love the story behind that because who would know that not only is Paul the fourth link in that greatest managers of all time chain, WWF, Northeast, Heenan wasn't there yet. But they were the three wise men of the Northeast, right? Paul's the wise man now in 2024. Mm. To me, it's a great story. Paul actually was working as a photographer back then. It's an odd story too. He's a teenager, right? And through Vince McMahon Sr., he's working, getting credentials. And Vince is like, because he said he had a wrestling magazine, which was the Wrestling Times, a play on the New York Times. And Vince is eventually like, where's the magazine? There wasn't one, right? Paul was bullshitting. So I love that story. And then he finally, he pitches all three.
Oh, so that's
good
to know. You can lie your way into the industry. That's nice.
That was the 80s.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, he was a hustler. He still is.
But you did an interview with Paul Heyman, so you kind of have the preview for the Hall of Fame speech.
No, I mean, I just think it's going to be a little tighter than people.
Because you know what the elephant in the room in this whole Paul Heyman Hall of Fame induction is. Brock Lesnar.
So I don't have this as gospel, but I would be shocked. Color me shocked if Paul does not mention Brock in the Hall of Fame speech. I think that he mentions him. I don't know how, I don't know where, but you can't, I mean, it would be like not mentioning ECW, right? Like you have to mention ECW. If you're Paul Heyman, you have, I would just be, even if he's told not to, my opinion, gut-based, heart-based, Paul will mention Brock. Just because you have to. You have to mention, you have to reference the streak. You have to mention, I mean, Paul probably did on the mic. I mean, it's hard to say this, but probably his best work on the mic after the night after WrestleMania 30, when he explains why it had to be Brock, probably his best promo. I mean, it's hard to pick just one, right? And so much of it's subjective.
And to clarify, you're talking about the night after Brock ended the Undertaker streak.
Right. That Raw was special. Yeah. He has to mention him.
I mean,
but I don't think Paul's such a good orator. It won't be when he ends that speech. That won't be your biggest takeaway. I don't think. But I don't, again, I didn't ask him that.
And I bring it up because last...
You mentioned he had not wrote it yet.
Last week, we did a show, and we talked about Brock Lesnar and how he's still... Or he was put back on the WWE website, on their roster page. And we started talking about the Hall of Fame. And I said, well, I mean, not only does he need to mention Brock, but I feel like Brock needs to be the guy that... you know, gives the speech before and actually inducts him into the Hall of Fame. And people in the comments are like, you got to thank ECW. I'm like, I get the ECW stuff. I understand that. But this is the WWE Hall of Fame. It is like the mainstream Hall of Fame, right? So we're really going off of...
It'd be tough to have Mikey Whipwreck. I get it. I mean, I'm a big Mikey Whipwreck.
The last 24 years, Paul Heyman, who's the guy that you think of when you think of Paul Heyman? Brock Lesnar. And to think that you're going to have Brock on the website, you're going to basically say he's still part of the WWE, because if you read the bio, it's the last sentence of Brock's bio on the WWE website is like, and still more to come, or something. I'm paraphrasing, but I thought that was interesting that and they would have that there.
Brock is a better interview than he gives himself credit
for. I bet you I would put any amount of money that Brock Lesnar behind the scenes is fighting some type of legal battle where it's like, you guys can't fucking fire me. These are allegations. These are text messages. I didn't do shit. Prove it. And you don't want to play this game with me. And, you know, again, some people in the comments are like, oh, he doesn't want to be a part. He doesn't even want to wrestle anymore. Of course he does. You think Brock Lesnar doesn't want to be a part of WrestleMania 40?
I don't know if he... I mean,
of course
to a point,
he does.
I don't know. I mean, I do think...
The 40th anniversary of WrestleMania, you think Brock Lesnar wants to be sitting on his farm?
Brock willingly moved to Canada and like...
I know, I get that part of him, but this is...
I mean, I think
he loves it. He doesn't
clearly,
love it?
Clearly, he loves it. Yeah, maybe there's some disappointment. I think Brock's always been... he's not defined by, I don't know Brock personally, but there's a lot at stake because with the merger with TKO, Brock's not just a WWE star. Brock is a genuine UFC star. UFC, if you look at the timeline, it takes a turn to the main. Brock winning the belt and that iconic interview post-show where he goes off, like that helped that the UFC grow into who. There's a reason Dana loves Brock. Like they did great business together. So you've got to be super careful of your endeavor. You can't have his, you can't tarnish one of your stars, right? I don't think Brock ever fights again for Dana, for the UFC. But you just got to be very careful that, like, he's a moneymaker for the UFC still.
No, but if you were to put your money on it, speaking of money, would you put your money on Brock Lesnar wrestling in the WWE again?
Yes.
I would too. Would. So if that's the road we're going down,
but you don't
what
need
moment, what better moment to reintroduce him than as, like, a calm in a suit, Brock Lesnar making a speech about the guy that...
Yeah, it's a
mainstream wrestling fans.
Why take
away? He's the only guy you think of, not the only guy, but he's the most popular guy that you think of when you think of Paul Heyman.
Well, there's a couple of guys you could choose too. I just don't want to take away from the moment from Paul.
But isn't it taken away from? It's the elephant in the room.
I don't know if Undertaker introduces him, that would be compelling.
No, because then it's like if you're going to have the Undertaker introduce him, you might as well have Brock Lesnar.
John Cena is a Paul Heyman guy. I don't know that.
I think. That's going way back then, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, Punk, you could have Punk do it.
I don't think it will be, but you could. You certainly could. I'd be surprised if it was
Punk. I think it needs to be a mainstream.
My money is on the guy. Who's the most relevant guy in wrestling? And he's directly connected to Paul Heyman.
You can't have Roman do it.
Why not?
Because if they showed you anything last year, it's that they do like to mix the storyline into it with Dominic Mysterio walking out on his dad with mommy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, you just, Roman, the next two nights, is going to be the bad guy, right? He's going to be the evil villain, Roman Reigns. If you're giving a speech, you can't be that guy.
Roman's got a lot of depth to his character. Can I go to the bathroom real quick?
Yeah. Thanks. We'll cut it. All right, we're back. We needed a bathroom break.
Big coffee.
A lot of coffee today on this Saturday, you know?
Fired up.
I forget where we're at. Oh, Hall of Fame, Paul Heyman.
I think Roman introduces Paul. I think Roman has enough gears, if you will, or he's got the depth of character where he can turn it on. He can still get the crowd to boo him. The crowd's going to do what the crowd wants to do anyways, if they want to cheer him, if they want to boo him. I don't think it hurts Cody. There'll be villains on Saturday, so it won't hurt him if he says nice things about Paul at the Hall of Fame. My opinion.
So you think Roman could do it? I don't think they'll have that happen. Now, I don't think Brock will be there. I'm telling you, I think he should. I think if they're going to bring him back, if he's going to be a part of this moving forward, which it does seem... all right, then let me ask you this.
He's not known for his interviews either. Brock.
No, but we've talked about Brock before, that when he does do mic work, promo
he's
work,
phenomenal.
He's actually pretty damn good.
He just
good.
Doesn't want to do it or chooses opts not to, but when he does, he's very good.
Yeah.
Look at his UFC run. Like, he doesn't have a manager. He's the one cutting promos. He's the guy.
When you look at him being put back on the website, though, like, knowing, like, who, like, what you know about the business and who you know in WWE, like, what does that tell you? Does that tell you that something happened behind the scenes, or...
They're working
with... Because this is a touchy subject, but obviously.
Yes, of course. I don't think they're working against him. Like, with Vince, they wanted Vince gone. Vince is gone. I don't think with Brock that like anyone's out to say like we're actively trying to remove Brock. Like it's not a legal battle. It's how do we protect your name and your image because they have so much to lose, not just WWE but with UFC. So it's a tough battle. And what else do we not know about the lawsuit? Like does this continue? Do they go to discovery? I mean, it makes your heart hurt. All the allegations. I don't know. Like what comes out next? Do they settle? There's so many questions. Mm-hmm. Is there more? I'm sure there's more we don't know. So what else is there? Is it more damaging information about someone's character? It's a humbling reminder that we don't know these people, right? Like Vince McMahon's been in our lives and, you know, it's the Survivor Series or whatever, you know, but that we don't know Vince. Like we don't know these people. I mean, we don't see what goes on behind closed doors.
It's just so tough for me every time I think about it because it's like, this doesn't even exist. Without that man. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
Maybe Ted Turner would have been the guy. Who knows?
I doubt it, man. Vince, the things that he was doing, the things that they did from WrestleMania 3 to WrestleMania 10, and then the Attitude Era, this stuff isn't done without Vince McMahon.
So it's interesting to think what would have happened if Vince decided to pick a different career, right? If he stayed in paper goods, which I think is what he did in the Cape for a little while. He was still in paper goods. But like Hogan, Hulkamania was real. Hulkamania was not a Vince thing. Hulkamania is out in Minneapolis. Like that was real. And Vern Gagne didn't see it, right? He wanted a wrestler as his champion. And Hulk was a body guy, right? It's funny how that, but the winds of change were blowing. Does Hogan still become Hulkamania across the nation without Vince?
No.
I don't know. Across the globe. I mean, you never know, right? It's all revisionist if you play that game.
Well, I mean, you're telling me that somebody was going to do every, like, the way that Vince...
Who knows?
The production of it all. Was somebody else going to do the production like Vince was? If you can tell me, yeah, then...
Oh, who knows? I mean, we'll never know.
I know. No. Nobody would have done it. We wouldn't even be talking about WWE.
I mean, if
professional wrestling would not be...
If they didn't create Saturday Night Live, would someone else have done it? Something similar, something different, something... A similar concept.
That's different because comedy existed, and not that wrestling didn't exist, but wrestling on the level of what WWE was doing with storylines, with the characters.
Well, that existed.
It didn't exist like that, though. It didn't exist.
It was broken up into territories. So
it was the mass scale production in the mainstream, but it was, come on, we have to give Vince McMahon credit here that his creative mind just built something, and I know it's not from scratch, but it kind of is.
I will say, and there were a lot of issues with the promoters of that era in terms of moving forward. I mean, he did build off the shoulders of giants. Now, those giants may have been territory, in the Florida market or in the St. Louis market, or they were different territories.
But what was preventing those things from going mainstream?
The system global? Worked.
It's one of those things, it's like...
But their system worked. Like, the AWA had a really good system. Mid-South had a really good system. Why change what's working? It always worked that way. It was always going to work that way. To me, it's similar to... And I think he gets a bad rap for it. I don't even know his name. But it was the CEO of Blockbuster. And he's like, they didn't know about Netflix, or he didn't know much about it. What was he supposed to say? In 20 years, it's going to be the biggest conglomerate in the world. No one knows. Like, that's the beauty of it. But like, to me, the old territories are like video stores in the sense. They were powerful videos. Like, I'm aging myself here, 41, but like, you used to go to the video store and get in the wrestling section. So growing up in Peabody, we had a couple different video stores, but if you went to South Peabody, we have to talk our parents and driving us out there. They had WrestleMania 3. That was it. But I mean, like, when you went to a video store and you saw wrestling, like the wrestling
section.
You had
to get it.
Yeah. You had to go to, Mom, I'll be right back. Like, that was the section you wanted to be part of. And they had the best covers. And sometimes you'd see a match where, like, cards subject to change, right? Like, you'd see Barry Windham, part of a Survivor Series team where he didn't, or the Widowmaker, and he didn't make it. I think it was the Savage team. Anyways, I'm getting off track. But
my point Vince in saying that is, I think. We're not doing this without Vince McMahon. I'm not trying to take away from all the territories and what was happening. I get it. There was pro wrestling. There were characters. But Vince just put it on another level. And I just don't know. In fact, I do know. I don't think there was anyone out there that could have even begun to think that some of the things that he did was even possible.
Who are the guys that Vince uses as his stars, though? They're all the stars from the territory. Jesse Ventura, Bobby Heenan, Gene Oakley. I mean, it's like Vince pilfers the AWA. Like, those are all AWA. I shouldn't say all. He uses a heavy chunk of AWA stars.
All right, I will counter that then by, and I know this sounds like I'm knocking AEW, and I guess I am, but let's bring it back to now. There are guys that are stars in WWE, or maybe even, mid-card guys that go to AEW thinking, oh, because they're WWE guys, everyone's going to love it, and they don't.
I'll say this about AEW. If Bryan Danielson was in WWE, I think he would be headlining WrestleMania 40 against Roman Reigns.
Of course he would. He would be involved in...
Yes.
And Edge would be still... I know Edge probably made the move because he thought he was getting maybe worked out, but he goes to AEW.
See, I've liked Edge's stuff in AEW.
Oh, man. But he's been there... How long has he been there for?
Since October.
And he's had one feud.
Now, that's his feud. What is happening? Have a tendency to run long. In our last interview, I said to him, I'm excited to see what, like, And he even said, I know some people are done with me and Christian, or him and Jay, but he said they needed to do it first. Like, they needed to knock that out. Otherwise, when are they going to touch? When are they going to touch? When are they going to talk? I don't know. I feel like it went on a little long. Obviously, that's not breaking news, but I'm curious to see where he goes next. Tonight, he has his first open challenge as TNT champion Saturday night. So,
and I love Edge, yeah. But I just feel like this, it feels different in WWE.
Not revisionist history. I thought it in the moment. I honestly thought Finn Balor should have beat him at WrestleMania. I thought that was, why have Edge go over? I don't
know.
He
was the demon in that
he
one,
wasn't,
right?
And he lost. And I know you insulted his, you beat, you know, they attacked his wife. You insulted the man. I thought that was Balor's moment. And I'm a big Finn Balor fan. I just thought as the demon, he needs to win. He needed that match a lot more than Edge.
You know what's so funny? We sit here and talk about the championship, WWE, WrestleMania, and we don't even think about who's got the money in the bank. And so I don't know. Like, because here's what would be just classic WWE. Classic finish the story. Cody wins. Damian Priest beats Cody.
I think he's
like
the odd
people
man.
Would flip yeah. this. You want to give someone heat?
I think
you want to give Damian Priest like that,
instant.
What
yeah.
is it? X-Pac heat? Is that yeah. what they call it?
Have him win the belt the night after Mania. I do think if he cashes in the night after Mania, it's a moment. I just can't see. I can't see it. But imagine if they have Cody. I mean, if you look at the first three Austin title runs in WWE, they're short. He's not one night, but he's chasing the babyface chases. It's just a tried and true meth approach. It works. If you have Priest beat Cody for the belt the night after he wins it, it would be
the night after he wins it.
You can do it on the Raw after.
I'm talking about WrestleMania 40. Cody wins it. Finishes the story. People go nuts. Damian Priest, you don't even need music. He can pop out of the crowd. Money at briefcase. Cause you got,
I think Mania will be Cody's. But the next night, I mean, you always got another show, right?
Oh, I wouldn't do it. If they're going to do it, they got to do it that night. And you got to give Damian Priest that heat so that everybody who has ever watched wrestling ever hates his guts.
The next night, though, when Cody's in tears, in theory, talking about his father and his family and the legacy of the Rhodes.
Not the same, Justin. Wouldn't be the same.
You need a big, the Raw after Mania is always spectacular. I actually thought they made a mistake. It was the Monday night Raw. The Rock was back, the January 1st Raw, the New Year's night Raw. I thought that was the night Priest was going to cash in, and that's before the Rollins injury, and I thought he would cash in that night, and you had a little bit of time to pivot before Mania if you wanted to put the belt back on Seth, if you wanted to keep Priest as champ, because to me, he's in a tough spot now, Damian Priest. And you have two belts for a reason, so a guy like him can break through and become champ, but it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I was booking this thing, if I believed in Damian Priest,
he's
then
phenomenal.
There's one way for me to do this. Cody finishes the story, and as he's celebrating and the confetti is coming down, Damian Priest makes every single person that's ever watched wrestling hate him by pinning Cody and winning that title. If I believed in Damian Priest, do I think that's going to happen? No, because I don't think they believe in Damian Priest like that, so that's not going to happen. I'm just trying to... We're playing fantasy booking right here.
I think the next night means as much, though. You give Cody his moment at 40... And if you have Priest cash in the next night, successfully or unsuccessfully, it's a moment. It's something. It's tough, too. If you have Priest, it wouldn't crush him. It wouldn't be a Damian Sandow type moment. But if he cashes in and doesn't win, I think he can overcome it. It'll be curious. They're putting a lot of signs out that Judgment Day's starting to crack.
Yeah, they're going to break up.
I think Priest is talented enough that he will be fine. But I'd like to see a Damian Priest title run. I don't know. You need, if let's just say hypothetically, right? The Rock is going to work Cody at SummerSlam. Let's just say you got to get Cody from Mania to SummerSlam. How do you do that? If you wanted to have a quick title loss to Priest, maybe you make Priest and then Cody wins the belt back. I don't know, but you've got to get from point A to point B. Or is the plan, do you have Gunther win the belt at Bash in Berlin in August? Like, they're in Germany for that show. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways that they can go, especially if Sami Zayn wins the IC belt at Mania. Maybe Gunther goes for the, I want to call him Walter, goes for the title. So, and they have the show in Germany. Who better to have close it than this supervillain, superhero character?
Are we going to see any major surprises at Mania? Like, is Cena going to be? Cena has to be involved in WrestleMania 40. Stone Cold needs to be involved in WrestleMania 40. They had the image where The Rock and Cody were fighting outside, and they had the truck, and it had Cena, Stone Cold, and people online obviously thought, oh, they're doing this on purpose. What do you think?
They could fill in the role of Owens and Zayn, right? When they take out the Usos last year. I don't know. I think you've got to be careful about relying too much on the past and those times when you're creating the present. And they have they connect to The Rock for sure, too. I think they'll be involved. I think if you're Hogan, if you're trying to use Hogan, you probably do an ode to the original main event and you highlight those who aren't there. You know, Roddy Piper's no longer here. Paul Orndorff's no longer here. I think you probably do something like that.
Hulk Hogan has to be involved in WrestleMania 40 some way, shape, or form.
Honor the original WrestleMania, especially with Mr. T going in the Hall of Fame. Right? Muhammad Ali going to the Hall of Fame.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Mr. T, he gave it one of the longest Hall of Fame speeches of all time, Mr. T. But yeah, especially with Muhammad Ali, there's an easy tie back. You have to pay tribute to the beginning. You can't pay tribute to Vince. You can't. So highlight the original
match. It's so crazy. It is just so crazy.
And
that,
what is Vince? Here's the question, Danny. What's Vince like? If Vince, we were talking about this earlier, is Vince just going to move to a deserted island and live out his however many years he has left? Like, he has the feds chasing him. That's bad. There's an ongoing potential lawsuit here. What happens to Vince? Does he have another wrestling company in mind? Does he have backers that would help financially support that?
No,
I don't know. I think
think he gets involved in AEW.
No, he'd have to create his own.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the Khans would want anything to do with him. And the Khans probably have more money than Vince. I don't know. I just think with Vince, up is down. It's hard to know. Like, who would go work for him? I don't know. It's a...
Well, it is...
I'm shocked, too, that WWE has not put out a statement about Vince. Because in interviews, like the Randy Orton interview, for instance, or different interviews, you ask talent about Vince. It always reminds me of the Royal Rumble press conference where Triple H didn't have a prepared statement to read. And he kept getting asked the question about Vince or the lawsuit. Like, it always reminds me of Coach, and I know we're New England guys here, but it always reminds me of Bill Belichick. Like, Belichick, it was tedious. It was laborious. It was tough, but he would give his statement at the beginning of the press conference. And then when you asked him,
he'd refer back to his statement
17 times. The 22nd time you asked him, he would say, I'm going to refer back to the statement. Like, that was Bill.
Yeah.
And nobody did it more devoutly. Like, he was like, I'm shocked that WWE, to protect their talent, hasn't released a statement where if you ask, pick a wrestler, well, I got to refer back to the statement. It's wild to me.
I mean, it's just, it's sticky. It's too sticky because you
got to protect for them. I mean, for us, I'm going to ask for them. You've got to protect your talent. I'm shocked they don't have a statement. Triple H that night too.
I don't know what else Triple H could have said in that moment though. He's married to Vince's daughter,
right?
Who's just as much a part of the fabric of the WWE. Like, it's
Which
just such a sticky situation. And here's what I will also say this, and you don't have to agree, but we've said this on this show. We've tried to take a look. Vince McMahon, obviously, with those text messages, is just into some fucking wild, crazy, outrageous shit that we can't even wrap our brains around.
This is all we know.
About Vince McMahon, but it's like we also live in a world where, like, I also saw, like, these are allegations, and I just wonder, like, what is happening right now behind the scenes? Like, what is Vince McMahon and his team putting together to fire back? Like, my point is, the reason why we might not have the statement, as you said, yet, is because there might be still some stuff where it's like, that isn't fucking true. And there's some questions. I read the lawsuit top to bottom, and I walked away with some questions going, this isn't adding up. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Sorry, it doesn't. I know we all just want to, like, burn the WWE to the ground and burn Vince McMahon and throw him in jail and throw away the key. If he's guilty of everything in that lawsuit, then yeah.
But the statement doesn't need to get into the weeds of the lawsuit.
But it does.
It just needs to protect your talent. It just needs... And the talent had nothing to do with what Vince was doing in that regard. To me, the statement isn't about protecting Vince or not protecting Vince. It's about protecting, again, pick a WWE star. Becky Lynch has been asked about it, and she handled it very well. Becky's very articulate, but, like, maybe that's not what Becky should be talking about when she's highlighting her book and she's, maybe it should be. I mean, again, it doesn't matter. She's going to get asked. There's no statement to refer back to for the talent's sake. I don't work in PR. I don't work for WWE. But I think that looking out for your talent, not to protect Vince at all, not to admonish Vince. That's not what that is. It's just looking out for your talent.
Well, I thought Cena's comments were interesting on Howard Stern.
I think if you read them and you listen to them, they're very different. Like, I thought if you listen to John on the air, you listen to the clip.
I watched the clip, yeah.
It's better than reading it.
Of course it is.
Because you read it, it's like, John, what? But it's hard where, again, I asked Randy Orton this question, and I thought Orton was very honest. He said, reading the allegations, it hurts my heart. But he said, I wouldn't be who I have to say, exactly. I wouldn't be who I am without Vince McMahon. So I thought that Randy's comment was very honest and very, that there's no reason you can't say. Kevin Nash, I think, said something similar, that Vince was like a second father to your.
Well, that's why I thought John Cena's comment was actually good, because you got to put yourself in that guy's shoes. It's like,
it did Howard like Stern,
you're not interviewing me right now about this guy, if not for this guy.
Yeah.
And so it's such a sticky, tough situation, because obviously people knew certain things were going on, but it's like, to what extent did people
know?
And
I feel like,
and what is true and what is not?
Maybe I'm naive. I feel like the talent, you just don't know. Like, you didn't have that much FaceTime with Vince. Again, I don't want to pick a name, but pick a name out of a hat.
No, you don't have to.
They didn't know what Vince was like. They're not in his office. If they're getting FaceTime with Vince, it's to talk about their character development or what they're doing. Like, I just don't think
the whole thing sucks. Yeah, nobody wants to talk about it.
I don't think it's over until they settle or they go to court and there's discovery. Like, there's a lot more to this. And it's not, to me, the biggest misconception about this case is it's not a lawsuit against Vince. It's a lawsuit against Vince and WWE. That's different, right? It was just a Vince thing. All right. It's a WWE thing. So, now, granted, it was not under the TKO Endeavor era, mm-hmm. right? Ownership or merger. But that, to me, changes things hugely. It's not just a Vince thing. It's a Vince / WWE thing. That's a big difference.
I can't even imagine, like, what's going through Stephanie's mind? What's going through Shane's mind with all this? Well, like, I just can't even imagine. It's tough crazy, when you, it's man. Tough I don't when, even fucking know what to and say maybe anymore they knew, about it.
But it's tough when the world knows. Now, yeah. Like, Stephanie did it in Boston. And my interactions with Stephanie have always been very, very positive. Even when we had discussions that maybe weren't, that were difficult topics mm-hmm. around the pandemic and different topics. But, you know, Stephanie did the thank you Vince chant. That was at a SmackDown in Boston.
Yeah.
Knowing what
she
knew.
Oh, is that at the Garden? Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing what she knew. I remember that night, if he was looking around thinking, what are people doing? Like, but it's tough when, like, she led that chant. So it's tough. I mean, for the McMahons, I think you obviously want to protect your family, right? And your children, their name. They have the same name, right? Well, I guess her children would have her, I don't know if they're Levesque or what, but the McMahon name, right? The family blood you want to protect. It's got to be tough for the family, for the grandkids. Like, this isn't a, to your point about Vince making it mainstream, this isn't a pro wrestling story. It's a Vince McMahon's a mainstream story about Vince being banished from WWE. And it's a story with a lot of layers. It's one of those stories that makes your heart hurt for the victims involved. We don't even know all of it in terms of NDAs and, I don't know if it goes to court. It's going to be, I can't imagine it does because of the keyword discovery, but we'll see where it goes.
We will see where it goes. And I, you know, kind of, that's why I brought up the Lesnar stuff earlier as well, but it's just, you know, we're about to celebrate the 40th anniversary of something that this
created.
Who?
No, it's not, not going to say his name. Yeah. But I do think if anybody could pull that off, right? Like, Triple H has always had he's a pro wrestling guy. And one of the most meaningful interviews we had, it was after Harley Race had passed. And I remember I reached out to a contact who's no longer with WWE, but a very talented individual. And I said, hey, do you think Paul would want to talk about Harley Race? Like, has nothing to do with WWE. In fact, like, his best memories aren't even there, right? Mm. They were elsewhere. And he said, oh, I doubt it. Paul's pretty busy, but I'll check. And he called back. I think I was at Fenway. He called back within like 3 minutes. And he's like, how soon can you talk? He desperately wants to talk about the Hardy race. Like, if anybody has paid homage to pro wrestling, not just WWE's version, it's Triple H, right? Mm-hmm. He's always had an appreciation for pro wrestling in general.
And he's got his fingerprints all over this Bloodline storyline.
100%. Yeah.
I mean, even going back to the Sami Zayn stuff.
I think it changes now with Rock involved, because Rock brings his, Brian's a great writer too. He brings his guy in, but it's only made it better. Like, the Rock storylines aren't something you can just tell him this is what he's doing. He's involved. I mean, the Rock's a board member, right? Mm. And you see he's playing by his own rules, which I love people online. You know, it's funny online. You read people saying, or some saying, he should be playing by the same rules as everybody else. Let the Rock do what the Rock wants to do. This is fun.
But that's where I get back to. I think even you're getting worked with it. Like, I think the Rock is, I don't think the Rock is going in there behind the scenes going, I'm a member of the board, everybody in here, shut the fuck up. I'm doing it my way. I don't think he's.
You don't think the Rock has an ego? I mean, I've got an ego.
I'm sure he's got an ego.
You've got an ego. All do.
I'm sure he's got an ego, but I don't think he came back and used that ego to his advantage to get in the main. He knows if he's going to come back, he's going to be in the main event storyline.
When
it's
I'm
obvious.
Enjoying my $50 gift card at Sullivan's, I'll be. He's not getting pinned on night one, but we'll see. And if I'm wrong, I believe you. I think part of being in this industry, on my end, you never want to be wrong, but it's just the nature of the beast. Sometimes you are.
I always say, I'm not right all the time, but I'm 8 out of 10.
Hey.
I'm 8 out of 10, Justin. Come on now.
You're a baseball guy. I mean, if you're 3 out of 10 in MLB,
yeah, you've had I'm batting 800
spectacular
for my takes. I don't care what people in the comments say. I'm batting 800.
I like that. Now, one of your best ideas that I don't think got enough credit was, man, was it a casket match? You had something. It was a taker like
that was
Rusev.
I remember that podcast. See, for people who don't know, we've been doing this podcast before WrestleMania every year. COVID messed things up.
Yep.
But before COVID, we were doing it for a handful of years.
They were going
right
Saudi.
Before.
You had a really good idea.
No, I said it was Cena, Undertaker, and it should end with the Undertaker getting put in the casket and rolled away. Now, yeah. I was not in that moment that when we were doing odd. Those podcasts, I was knocking the Undertaker in that moment because I was like, I was watching the Undertaker. I was like, it's got to be the Undertaker again. He's getting too old. How much longer are we going to keep doing this? But I was wrong, because when I watched that Undertaker special, what was it? The Last Ride, which was kind of like the Michael Jordan.
The wrestling version.
Of the Michael Jordan story. What was the last dance? It was the last ride. I thought to myself, wow, I was wrong on The Undertaker, like, as an old dude wrestling. Let's get him back in and wrestle again, because that was one of the most fascinating
documentaries
I've ever seen.
And we needed it during the pandemic era. So odd. But you'll remember they had a very creative Money in the Bank in WWE. Like,
in the headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut.
If you remember that match, which Otis wins. There's a fun fact for us. But if you remember that match, they fight like Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles fight in Vince's office.
Yeah.
AJ also goes into like a random room and the gong goes off. Or it's something to, so they're hinting at an AJ Taker match, which Taker must have shot down because he retires and at Survivor Series and that's
well, they had the match though.
Right. This is post-Mania.
Oh, you're saying, yeah, okay.
With a crowd. Because Taker should have, the problem with that
night
was.
It was the Boneyard match.
Right. And the problem with Taker's farewell was, Taker should have had, I mean, if anyone deserves a farewell with a crowd, it's that guy.
Yeah,
I mean, to do that.
That's right. They did the farewell to Undertaker. And I don't even know if that all happened like in the moment, because there was one point in time, what was it, like Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, they came in the ring and then they did a camera cut. Right. And, like, nobody was out. It was like no one was outside the ring. I was like, did they not record this all in the same moment?
Yeah.
It was very strange. Yeah, that was a very strange send off. I mean, COVID was a very strange wrestling period. One we'll never forget. I mean, it created the Thunderdome.
Right. Which was fun for like 2 weeks, and then it was like, get me out of here, get me back to life.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck
so
are we doing?
One of my favorite matches was, and this is another reason why I think that storyline would have legs. What would he have done in between then and now? We don't know. But Bryan Danielson, I know he openly did not like, and we've talked about this in interviews, he did not like the finish, the stack finish, which I actually thought was pretty cool.
Ah, I thought it was great because they were talking about it.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you get the wrestlers fired up, right? You get Edge fired up, you get Bryan fired up. But I love the match on SmackDown. It's Bryan's farewell match in WWE. That one-on-one, basically studio wrestling show, right? No crowd. That's an awesome match. Like he and Roman would have had something really special if they could have prolonged that and worked a singles match at Mania. Where that would have led Cody, I mean, this is all revisionist. Who knows? But there's so much. It's fun. And to jump back to AEW, I'm grateful AEW exists. Not only is there more content to cover, but think back of a few years ago. You were involved because you were, still are, a big Matt Taven fan, but they do the Supercard of Honor at the Garden. We desperately needed a second promotion. Like, WWE's better to the talent, better product with AEW around. You have to be.
Of course.
Have to be with real competition.
We said this a couple weeks ago on this show. You know, there have been plenty of times where we've knocked the way that AEW storylines have unfolded, especially for guys coming over from WWE and women from WWE. We'll talk about Mercedes Moné in a second. But there is no denying that AEW's existence alone on TBS and TNT as a weekly program with some really good talent, there's no denying that that helped improve the WWE's product.
I don't think CM Punk's back without it. Now we get to watch Will Ospreay. We get to watch Kazuchika Okada. We get to watch Mercedes Moné. Yeah, I mean,
is it Moné or Moné?
I think you can.
They keep. I've heard both, but she's said Moné.
Yeah, it's all about them. Hey, Mercedes.
What did you think of her?
I like that it was
AEW debut.
I've read that maybe they should have waited. I was at the Garden that night. I like that she opened the show. I can't wait till she puts together a championship run. People forget because all of us have short memories. Mercedes helped carry pro wrestling during the pandemic. Like those, she was in on SmackDown, Raw, tag team with Bayley. They went to NXT that summer, the Great American Bash, and made some great, then put together some magic there. Like, I'm excited to see. She's so talented.
Oh, she's great.
So I'm excited that it's in AEW. I think she's exactly what they need. I think it's interesting that Mercedes, Okada, and Ospreay, like, do they have more impact collectively than Brian, Punk, and Adam Cole?
No.
Now, it's tough. In AEW?
Yeah, no. No way.
Why not? Punk's already gone.
I'll tell you why. And I probably Cole's speak. I'm more of the mainstream. I'm in it for the storyline. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. AEW doesn't seem to be as much about the storyline as it is about what Brian Danielson is, you know, his dream matches. It's not a dream match for me. And that's fine for him.
I don't know who the bigger star is.
Do what you got to do, Brian Danielson. He's earned that right to do those things. Those are his dreams. But some of the things that he's calling his dream match, as the mainstream wrestling fan, I look at that and go, that's a match I don't even need to see. And so I just think if you're AEW, at some point, all right, you have your diehard audience. They're going to be who they're going to be. But you do need at some point to keep someone like me around. And when I watched the Mercedes Moné debut, which I watched on TV, I was not in the building, even though it was right down the street. I watched it on TV. I thought it was great. It didn't matter what she said. She could have said nothing. What was going to matter to someone like me, Justin, was what are you doing with her that night to make sure I'm coming back next week? And I just thought that's where they dropped the ball. Not her, the booking. They dropped the ball. She walked out of the ring, and then they had Undisputed Kingdom come out. Why didn't Adam Cole interrupt her?
Well, she comes back at the end of the show.
Yeah, but against who, though?
She helped.
Okay, but that can't be the feud out of the gate that gets me back in. I mean,
yeah, I see the argument there. I think it's going to work. I think she wants to work. She wants to bring everyone up, and that's what she's going
to
do.
And by the way, I said Adam Cole because you were going with Undisputed Kingdom with the next match anyways. It's like, I realized that Adam Cole and
that
Sasha
was Wardlow,
Banks,
Samoa Joe,
or Mercedes Moné are not getting in the ring together and having a match. But you get what I'm saying. You need to, like, elevate everybody in that moment,
but why
put them on the same screen. And then what about Britt? But then that's when Britt Baker comes
I'm
down.
I'm surprised Britt wasn't back.
And
too.
Then there's the moment, because then I'm coming back next week, Justin.
But why can't Mercedes, Okada, and Ospreay for AEW have more impact than Brian, Punk, and Cole? Cole, and I'm a big Adam Cole fan. Adam Cole's been hurt, unfortunately. He probably should have retired with the concussion, with the brain injury. Like, that was again, this is out of his control.
Yeah, that sucks.
Punk's gone.
Adam Cole fan.
Yeah. Punk's gone. I mean, Punk was a shooting star, right? He made a big impact, but for a brief amount of time. Obviously, the press conference of all press conferences at All Out. And then Brian, I really enjoy everything he's doing. I like the dream matches. I guess when you're putting him in the ring with a 63-year-old Blue Panther, now that was the CML show, CMLL show last night. Not everyone's going to dig it. But I don't know if you're a Brian fan. I think you're loving everything he's doing. But why can't those three, like long-term, Mercedes is going to have a big impact. Long-term, Okada's going to have a big impact. And I love they brought out him out as a villain, as a heel. Ospreay, long-term, will have a big impact. I think long-term, those three, they're not household names like Punk, Brian, or even Cole. But I do think those three will have a bigger impact in AEW.
I just, when I heard those announcements that those guys are like signing with AEW, I've already watched them fight in AEW. Like there was something missing.
Ospreay's been in AEW.
You know, they've had matches in AEW.
Mercedes even showed up. She was at the Wembley show.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
Crowd. Right, in the ring having
like,
a match.
Like
right.
Those guys, right? So Okada's I already kind of considered them part of AEW anyways. Like, that's just what I...
Sure.
They were already part of it. Which so is that's the, not even really new to me when I see that stuff. Like, that's not really new to me. The Mercedes Moné stuff was new, and I think she's great, and it didn't matter what she said in the promo. I'm not going to criticize that.
I like the promo.
I thought it was good. But
stuff she wouldn't have been able to get into in WWE.
My point is, whether you judge that promo good or bad, it didn't matter. It was what was the booking going to do with her out of the gate? Someone like myself, who's more of a mainstream wrestling fan.
You a season ticket holder?
I'm not a season ticket holder.
Really?
I'm not. I'm a Bloodline storyline season ticket holder.
All right.
They got just me for in. That. Like I told you, they've hijacked this show with wrestling because of what they've done with the Bloodline storyline the last couple of years. Goes back to the battle with Jey Uso and the Hell in a Cell, with bringing in Sami Zayn, and now with The Rock. Everything that they've done with the storyline, I have now become I got to watch SmackDown on Friday nights. Before this storyline,
it's the best show on television.
I really wasn't
with Mercedes,
that anymore.
I know there's history with Willow Nightingale. I think they want to tie up that story before they move. I mean, she'll be in the title picture, and I don't think they'll lose people because she didn't start off, or she started with Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Like, I think it's only going to benefit Sky and Julia and, Hart and Blue. I don't know. I think she'll be fine. I think Mercedes is going to be excellent long-term. I think that if you're watching
how long-term
for Mercedes,
is it?
It's a multi-year deal.
Is she? But she already said she's going back to the WWE.
Yeah, but I mean,
everyone goes back.
But it's tough when your IP, your intellectual properties, like she's tied in. I mean, her history's there. So like, I don't think that was a knock on AEW as much as it was, well, probably she goes back. I mean, Brian, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back. Like some of Brian's.
I was going to ask you that. You think one? I mean, Hall of Fame.
How is he not? Does not get inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame, right? Oh, that makes me think too of a really interesting. It probably won't happen because he just re-signed. A really interesting Paul Heyman guy introduction would have been, and I still think they could make it work. It's tricky because it's competing companies. Jim Ross would have been excellent. Like Jim took a chance on a young Paul Heyman. Paul was a
that's a
controversial
that is
guy.
Great. That's
JR,
a great one.
JR was. They have been.
What you
aligned.
Don't think Tony Khan would let that happen?
Tony would. I think
he would too.
Would WWE want to bring in an AEW guy? But to me, JR is not an AEW guy. JR is a pro wrestling guy. Like JR is synonymous with pro wrestling.
He's a WWE guy. Even though he works for AEW, JR is
his
good
most
old JR is
his
a WWE
cowboy
guy.
Hat, not a Mid-South guy, not a WCW guy. Like JR, when you think of JR, you think of the...
Oh my God, he killed him.
Yeah.
Awesome. He broke him in half.
But like, I think that would have been really cool to have... Like JR could give a great, quick intro for Paul.
Yeah, that's
why
a good
not
call.
Honor JR?
That's what they should do.
He'd be great in that role.
That's what they should do.
I meant to say that earlier.
Well, you said it now.
Thank you.
And that's all that matters. But
and Mercedes, Sasha, Mercedes would be great in AEW, is great in AEW. I think she's a game changer. I do think those three will have more impact long term. Again, Brian's having impact. Punk's already gone. Cole, unfortunately, the ankle, the concussions. It has just been, and that match where he got the concussion, that match was with, you make a good point, like Okada was in that four-way. We've seen Okada wrestle there, not as the AEW version though, right? We've seen Ospreay in AEW, but not as the AEW version. So I'm excited. I'm curious where AEW is by Wembley in August. Like is Swerve world champion by then? He should be. I like Samoa Joe, but.
Do you know where Swerve would be great?
Tell me, Hit Row?
WWE. And I know he was there, but
it's not his. They deemed him unnecessary.
But guess what? Product. He's he's shown.
He's a
now,
star. He's a star.
He's a star.
Yeah.
Swerve Strickland, when he goes to WWE, they would just... I can't even explain it, Justin. It's a production level value. Like, they can just... if put it this way. Adam Cole, I know he's injured, mm-hmm. and he's in the wheelchair right now, right? And he's got the leg injury. And he's got the neck injury, right? Is it neck or
ankle.
Leg? Ankle?
Yeah.
Is it what? It was head or neck, too, though?
So was the, he had the concussion issues. He came back.
All right, it wasn't neck. Oh, that was Roddy Strong.
Right.
I'm sorry.
He had the neck brace.
But you don't think that WWE would be able to do something better with that Adam Cole right now than what's happening with him there?
They didn't want him. I mean, now, granted, that was under the Vince.
They didn't want him?
They let him go. Adam Cole? Yeah, they let Adam Cole leave.
I thought they did want him, and he didn't want to be in the role that they thought.
I'm not sure that story, Keith Lee managing him. They didn't see the long-term value to him on the main roster. Now, what happens if he waits?
Who is they? Vince? All right, because there's no way Triple H
right.
got that.
Clearly, Adam Cole's best moments, unbiased, NXT. Right, those are his greatest moments.
He was awesome.
Yeah, phenomenal. And he had the benefit of being healthy, too, right? Like, but with AEW, I will say this. Swerve has that Texas death match with Hangman Page. That simply, in that iteration, does not happen in WWE. It wouldn't have. It wouldn't. It couldn't. Like, that only happens on the mainstream in AEW. I think Hangman deserves a lot of credit. That was a great, wild match. Was it a little too gory? Maybe. Did they get their point across? Absolutely. Like, Swerve... if you didn't already view him as a star that night, you did by the end of that match. I'm a big Swerve fan. I can't wait for his world title run. But again, by the summer, is Osprey headlining Wembley would make sense. Okada headlining Wembley would make sense. I don't know. I'm a big fan of both those guys, especially Okada with the Young Bucks, especially when Kenny comes back.
Love what the Young Bucks are doing right
Fantastic.
Now.
Fantastic. Especially that they lost. To me, it's what do you do next? Always what do you do?
Tony Khan needs to get involved in that storyline with them. Like, that's what I think
Tony's done a good job.
I wish Tony Khan would lean into, because everyone on the internet's like, you know, blames Tony. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I know, look, I sit here and I knock the booking, but that's not me specifically going after Tony Khan. Like we said,
wrestling's so subjective, too. If you don't like
with AEW's existence alone, Tony Khan deserves the ultimate praise for improving WWE product to the point where it's got me back to being a potential season ticket holder again.
Right.
And so that's a lot of that is Tony Khan deserves a lot of credit for that. Tony Khan takes a lot of the blame for some of AEW's downfalls. Tony Khan should lean into that and come in with the Young Bucks and lean into that role and go, all right, yeah, we're running AEW and here's what we're doing.
I will say I'm disappointed. I mean, I love the fact AEW's around. Like, I'm disappointed that Dustin Rhodes isn't back in WWE. One of the most emotional, still chokes me up, promos of all time. And I asked Dustin about this in our last interview. I like Dustin a lot. I've enjoyed covering him over the years. Dustin's been in our lives. Dustin wrestled at WrestleMania 10. Right? Was the Piper match at WrestleMania 10? No, 11.
11.
11, excuse me.
The parking lot
the,
match.
Hollywood Brawl.
The Hollywood Brawl.
Yeah, backlot brawl against Piper. Mm-hmm. So that's... WrestleMania 11, which I think was that San Jose? Anyway, Boyhood Dream, Shawn Michaels that night.
Like, no, that was 12. Shawn Michaels' Boyhood Dream was WrestleMania 12.
Excuse me, yes.
Yeah, right. It was WrestleMania 12.
Because 11 was Connecticut.
11 was Goldust versus Ultimate Warrior or Triple H?
Triple H versus Warrior.
Triple H versus
11
Warrior.
was Diesel and Shawn. Diesel goes over. It was Bam Bam and LT at WrestleMania 11.
Bam Bam and LT.
Kind of a forgettable mania, obviously, we just forgot about it, but it's Bob Backlund and Brett. Neither of them had their best night. Brett with Backlund.
We're getting off track. Yeah. We're getting off track, don't we?
Backlund never says, I quit. He says, yes, which to me, I'd go to my grave believing he purposely didn't say I quit because Bob was a true wrestler. Like, he believed in it. He believed in himself as a true wrestler, but he says, yes, I believe. And Piper just ends the match, thankfully. Anyway.
True historian, Justin Barrasso.
My favorite moment of that match that night is Owen Hart is bragging about some mystery opponent, and it's Yokozuna, and they squash the Smoking Guns, who have one of the worst interviews, like pre-match interviews of all time. If you ever watch that WrestleMania 11, kind of a forgettable mania.
It's funny when you bring up guys who were in, like, who are still around and were in old Billy WrestleManias, Gunn. Because we were talking about this on the last show, and we were doing, like, people in the comments keep doing the. Oh, what's your Mount Rushmore of wrestling? Because people are putting Roman Reigns in there. and I haven't responded yet. Like, I'm still, I need to sit down and I need to sit down and write that one out. But you think about, like, Shawn Michaels always gets in the conversation. I don't know if anyone puts him there, but when you think about the longevity that Michaels had, like, think about Shawn Michaels, was he was at WrestleMania 5
against the Twin Towers, right?
Isn't that...
And it was a really good match.
Like, think about WrestleMania 5.
The one critique I have about Shawn's WrestleMania, and he is Mr. WrestleMania, partially because Savage leaves. Savage had some great Mania matches. Partially because Brett leaves. Brett had great WrestleMania matches, but Shawn does it the longest. The one thing missing in Shawn's WrestleMania legacy, and I thought this as a kid, and I still think it now, WrestleMania 8, he needed the Jannetty match just to button up that story. Like, he needs to beat Marty at WrestleMania 8. I know Marty, and Marty is a very underrated pro. Like, as a babyface, Marty was, as a middle card babyface, Marty could fire up the crowd. Marty was athletic. Like, Marty was a really good wrestler. I know that he had some problems staying with the company. But the Michaels, Tito, or El Matador match doesn't make sense looking back. Like, that was a chance for the Rockers break up, and then Marty does come back and they have the Molinar. They never have that real, like, pay-per-view blow-off that you'd see nowadays. I know the industry was a little different back then. My point about Dustin is...
There we go.
Dustin needs a tag team partner. Arn Anderson, WCW, early 90s. Arn Anderson, right before Hogan comes in. Right as Hogan's about to come in. And... he needs a tag partner, and Arn Anderson decides, he promises him he'd be his partner. Arn turns on him the first chance he gets, right? So Dusty cuts this passionate promo about, I'll be your partner. Like, you need blood. And it's a really, if you watch Dustin in the interview, they had a real life tough relationship.
This is in WCW.
Correct.
Yeah.
They had a real life tough relationship, Dusty and Dustin. Now, Dusty and Cody, very close. Later in life, right?
Sure.
But Dustin, they had a tough relationship. There's a great story about when, I don't know if Cody told me this or Dustin told me this. Maybe it was, but must have been Dustin in one of our old interviews. When he debuts as Goldust and he takes the wig off and Dusty's at home watching. I think Cody's on the floor playing with his wrestling figures. And he's like, Dad, isn't that Dustin? And he takes the wig off and Dusty, you know, has deer in the headlights. Like, he can't believe it. Like, there was a lot of... Dustin's had some ups and downs in his life, and having him come back and not just giving Cody a tag partner, but a family member, just like Cody. Dusty,
you're saying come back to the WWE.
It would write itself. Now, I know he's with AEW, but what in terms of what a great, like, you could have a Dustin Rhodes, Roman Reigns. I know Dustin's 55. You could have Dustin Roman work a main event.
Ruling it out?
He's still in a contract at AEW, so probably. But that's what makes this fun, right? Like,
there's, I think part of what The Rock might be doing is being the surrogate for that.
And he's brought up the family. He hasn't brought up Dustin. He hasn't brought up Cody's wife.
No, but I mean for his side of the family, for his father.
Say that again.
I think he's the surrogate for his father. So for any blood, really.
Okay, because there is no blood there, right? Yeah. Right.
But I will say he did. Dustin can still The Rock. Go. The Rock did reference that. The age difference.
That's true.
He did reference it in a way.
He made a bunch of errors in the math, but it was a good promo.
Okay, yeah.
But it didn't matter. Like, it was a wrestling promo. I will say my favorite, probably, I think I watched it with my dad. We had a blast. I think it opened a Dynamite. It was a Christian Cage, Dustin Rhodes, TNT title match. Dustin in 2024. Christian's good too, right? Dustin can still work a crowd as a babyface in 2024. Probably could do it for the next 15 years if his body didn't give out, right? At 55, the man can still work a crowd. He's still really, like, if he somehow came back to the WWE realm, universe, he and Roman would work magic together. There's no doubt in my mind. You could even
You know why? Because he proves my point with professional wrestling is that you don't have to do flips off the rope. You don't have to do crazy drops on people's necks.
You can.
It's about It's more so about the storyline and the delivery believability
in the heart.
In that.
Like, Dustin would play with your heartstrings.
Yeah.
That's what the story is.
I think that if you're Tony Khan, I think that would be such a cool move to give the tip of the cap for a one night.
Tony's played ball with them. Like, if you remember the Raw where they had the video videos, what was it, Jericho and Brian and Big Show or Paul White, but you haven't. They haven't played ball back, WWE. They don't, right? It's like when the Mafia comes to town, you got to do what they want to do. Not to imply WWE is the Mafia, but in that parallel, they would be. I think Tony's done a lot to be good to WWE, to be fair, and they haven't always given it back to him. So I don't know. But it's tough when you're asking for a Jim Ross, if they were, for the Hall of Fame induction. He would be great for Paul Heyman. Or if you're asking for Dustin Rhodes. I don't know what Tony would want in return. I'd be fascinated by that. Questions I'll ask the next time we speak.
How do we not bring up Jericho? Because it's seen his time in AEW seems to be done. From the outside looking in.
So I thought I was wrong. I thought that after his podcast, which was around Easter time, it was probably April, when he did the podcast with Steve Austin on the WWE Network, I thought for sure he was like when his contract was up, he'd be back. Because nobody from AEW comes on the network. It turned out that he stayed. Jericho's got stroke in AEW. He's got Tony's ear. Like Jericho's.
How couldn't he? I mean, obviously, like he's one of the founding fathers of AEW. I mean, you can make the argument if that Jericho never shows up in that ring with Kenny Omega, that maybe none of this shit ever even happens.
And his Taste of the Bubbly kind of promo where he wins the belt and he's celebrating by himself backstage. Like he helped put AEW on the map.
Cody Rhodes did too. I got to give Cody Rhodes the credit there.
One of their best feuds was Jericho Cody. One of the best feuds. It was early AEW.
I mean, Cody and Bullet Club was maybe the best Cody, in my opinion.
Until now.
No, I was a big fan of what they were doing with Bullet Club is fine. And Cody, I loved it. And we're you know what? We're burying the lead. Justin, we got to wrap this up. You got to go.
The Cody-Kenny match at the Cow Palace. And I was so thrilled to be at the Cow Palace in covering, you know, it's wrestling history in that building, right? And he wrestles Kenny. That was a match where both of them left better. And that was the night where Tama Tonga and they turn on the Bullet Club and Haku's involved. And it was a fun night. But like that night, like Cody held his own with Kenny Omega. It was a blast that night. That era of Bullet Club was a lot of fun.
We're burying the lead, and it's probably because he hasn't been on TV in a long time. But maybe the biggest star in the business outside of Roman Reigns is MJF. And right now, no one's talking about him. Some people have thought maybe he shows up and is one of Cody's friends.
This will be on
at WrestleMania.
Frozen takes. I believe that MJF.
But you think
re-signed.
That he's in AEW because he was doing the whole.
I heard
2024. What was the phrase they were using? I forget the exact phrase, but his contract was coming up, and it's 2024. You're saying MJF re-signed in AEW?
Yeah, I was digging for because he beats Omega on a Collision in a really good match, and I was told he re-signed. I'd be shocked if he didn't. If you're going to have him beat clean Kenny Omega.
Bidding war for 2024, that was it.
That's it. Yeah.
And it turned out to not be it.
Max is really talented. Well, I'm sure
he's one of the best.
I'm sure he got paid. I'm sure he's getting paid. Sure
he better get paid.
But I thought his Players Tribune writing was very atypical. You know, he's talking about he's on painkillers and he wanted to get off. Like, that's not how you sell a pay-per-view traditionally, but it made me want to watch his match at World's End even more. There's story with Adam Cole. It's tough when Adam Cole is the guy, like the key guy is the devil, yet he's hurt. It's a really, the injury hurt. The story.
Yeah, it did. It did. But MJF at some point will be in WWE. I can understand why he wouldn't go right now. This, what is he, 25 years old?
AEW exist. I think he's 27, 28.
Is he?
Does AEW exist in 5 years? I say yes.
Of course. Yeah, I think it does. Of course.
I think so.
Yeah. Why? People are saying AEW is going away?
It's just a question. I mean, their next TV deal, we'll see. It's big for the company. But the cons have money. They can make this. They've got to. And I don't like the whole, they've got the best roster ever. Hey, you look at their roster, it's chock full of talent. It's talent, right? They've got a really talented roster.
But there's something that WWE can do from a production
WWE has a great roster too.
Level for those guys that nobody else can. It's not knocking AEW. It's like nobody can do what nobody can do what WWE does. Talent.
In AEW's defense, it's a very nascent company, right?
So that's why I say MJF.
It's very young.
That's why, just to me, I would have loved Omega in WWE. I would have loved the Young Bucks in WWE.
I agree.
I always thought the Bucks would eventually end up there, but because they were the ones that started, though, I guess Cody was the one who started the company too. Bucks ever end up in WWE?
After this last deal?
Yeah, I mean, you just talked to him. You did a great feature on them in Sports Illustrated recently on SI.com.
I'm a big fan of the Bucks too and what they've built around them. But they just re-signed. I'd be surprised. Again, we'll see where we are in 3 years and 4 years. But right now, they did re-sign with AEW, a multi-year deal. Omega re-signed. Hangman Page, the Elite re-signed. There's so much for them to do in AEW, on screen, behind the scenes. I don't see it right now, but hey, in the future, I don't know. I just feel like they don't. To me, if there's anybody who's ever been, they're not WWE guys, and they made it, it's the Bucks. It's Kenny. Kenny had great success elsewhere too, as did the Bucks in Japan. But
all right, so I'll end the show here. One final prediction, just because we're kind of talking about it, and I'm thinking about it, and I meant to say it before our bathroom break, was Chris Jericho. My prediction: he headlines next year's WWE Hall of Fame. That's what I think is going to happen.
And I'll make. Are we making predictions?
Give one. Go ahead. This is your walk-off prediction.
This is my walk-off prediction. Gunther wins the A world title in August in Berlin. I don't know how you don't close that show without him winning a belt. It's not a good finish. Drew McIntyre, if you're going to put him in that spot, you're going to have him go over. Clash at the Castle in Wales does not beat Roman Reigns. Right, they have the classic bloodline finish. He sings Country Road, I think, or American Pie with Tyson Fury. And that was not a, I know for a fact, that was not a Drew McIntyre idea. tough finish. If you're going to Berlin, you got to have Gunther, Walter win the world title. Which one, I don't know. Like, is the world heavyweight title? Is it the WWE championship? But that'll be my take. In August, we'll have a new champion in Berlin.
Love it.
Also need Das Wonder Kid. You need Alex Wright at that show. How do you not have him do the dance?
When is the last time anyone has seen him?
He looks a little, he runs a wrestling school in Germany. He looks older. I mean, as he should, it's been 30 years since we've seen him, right? I don't know if he'll dance. He has to do the dance, right?
Of course. I mean, did not expect to hear that's a Das Wunderkind bomb.
That's a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame next year. So we'll see.
Yeah?
Why not? Triple H never beat him. Maybe he'll get his win back. Hey, if anybody, for those watching, listening, reading, I think the internet's like the Wild West, I always say. Like, you could read anything. You could watch anything. You can
believe anything.
The internet is, but if you want it, you'll find it. So if people are listening and engaging, and you've built such a strong audience, and you've put, having known you for what, the last decade, how much, I think it was Matt Traynor who introduced us.
Shout out.
Yeah.
To those who know.
And his son, Freddie, as well, if hopefully Freddie's first wrestling podcast.
Tonight. All right, we're giving Traynor too much love. Yeah. One shout out. No, enough. I'm just kidding. Give his kid.
But how much work you've put in and how much grind. It's a tough industry. Boston sports in general, but what you've done. EEI, new shakeup. We didn't even get into the EEI shakeup. Shuffling the deck there. But anyway, is that official?
Is what official?
The shakeup at EEI. Anyway.
I am not aware of a shakeup at EEI.
I thought they were moving people around.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyways.
Not on my radar anymore, big dog. Not on my radar anymore.
On that
Justin
note,
Barrasso, Sports much. Illustrated, SI.com. He's got the feature on Paul Heyman. We will link that in the description. Hit that subscribe button. Until next time, we're out. See ya.